Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies, so I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining. Drop, keep screaming for more. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome Boy, to is another. It a good morning.
It is. Welcome to another fine edition of the Sip and Chew Show with Mike and Stu. That's hey. Stu. I'm Mike. Steve's over there. Phil's in the back. We're all here to make this
Where
happen.
Where are you? That's the question.
Where are Where you? Are you? Yes. Where are you? It's beautiful outside.
Yep.
God, this is brunch outside brunch weather today. Or just doing anything outside.
Yep.
I kind of see the River Shack this afternoon, later on this afternoon.
Not a bad idea right there.
Now, they got a good band coming on at 5 o'clock, so it's Karen's husband.
I don't know who Karen is.
At the Butch Cassidy's, the hostess.
Oh, okay.
That Karen.
Oh, okay.
Her husband's band is playing at 5 o'clock today, so I may have to wander down there and wander around. So, and watch some football. They got big old screen TVs there. But anyway, welcome again to the Sip and Chew Show. We are your unsnobby zone for food and wine, and we try to make it simple.
You want to try that line again?
I don't know.
Snob free zone. See, yeah, I can't say it either. Maybe we should stay away from that.
Yeah, them words too big for us.
Yeah. We ain't got that kind of learnings.
Yeah, well, anyway. So, week two of college football, man.
Yeah, sure
Actually,
was.
Technically, week three, but.
No, officially week two.
Yeah, well, they had some games the week before.
That's called week zero.
But the ones yeah. that it's matter.
Right. It's Don't call it week zero. Call it week one. Hey, go. Week one, there ain't much going on. Mm-hmm. It's as ridiculous as the whole thing in algebra that. What's the square root of one? Negative one. What's the square root of negative one? I.
That's kind of like college football on Tuesday night. You know, it's
or NFL football on Thursday night.
It's only relevant to those who maybe went to school there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I see a lot of people looking at Facebook. A lot of people in New Orleans going to the Saints game. But the great thing about going to New Orleans is all the food.
There you go.
They got over there. God Almighty, yeah, I'm jealous.
Because I don't really follow the NFL anymore and hadn't for a few years. But it would appear that the Saints are back to being the Aints.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. But hey. You go over there for the food
exactly.
and the entertainment. You don't go
and
over there
for the game.
And
if there's a football game, maybe I'll go watch a little bit of that.
Go eat some food.
Until they miss like four extra points.
Yeah. Make sure you make a reservation for one.
Yeah, for one. But you go there for the food, and a football game breaks out.
Yeah. So. For a little bit.
Yeah, for a little bit. But I've known people that they got Saints tickets, and they'll just go to New Orleans because it's – the game's on every TV and every bar, and they'll just go watch it in the bars and restaurants and not fight the crowds and not fight all that walking, you know, just.
My, I think it was my second year in college over in Mississippi, and the drama department had a Christmas party. We go to the Christmas party, and our instructors had gotten presents for all of us, you know, not uncommon, Christmas cards. We opened them all up. And all of us had tickets to go see Cats when that was the big tour in New Orleans at the Louis Armstrong. So, you know, a bunch of theater geeks. We're all hyped, you know. Driving over, we're listening to the Saints versus Pittsburgh Steelers game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is 1987. You know what's significant about the 1987 season for the Saints?
No.
Their first ever winning season.
Oh.
And it was the game against Pittsburgh that if we won it would seal the first ever winning season in the then 20-year history of the New Orleans Saints. So we're listening to that all the way over. The Saints is a horrible game in the snow. Saints won it 10-0. and we're all hyped and everything. We get to New Orleans, we park, we're headed there, and the streets are just loaded with people driving up and down, honking their horns. Who that? Who that? Who that? Talk about they're going to beat them Saints. And the whole town's partying like Mardi Gras. And then we go on in, we see Cats, which was incredible. People that hate on Cats, y'all just, you don't get it.
I love Cats.
It was another musical.
Yeah.
But
Not so much, but it was, I love Cats.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal show. It really was. We come out of the theater 3 hours later, and they're still bumper to bumper in the streets, honking their horns. Oh, who dat, who dat.
It is New Orleans. There's no other place like it.
And it's, I was, you know, I was very happy that I was there to experience that. Yeah. I've had some great experiences in New Orleans where I just happened to be there that day. Another one, I went over to New Orleans, I think it was when I was auditioning for Food Network Star. Mm-hmm. And just happened to catch the second line when Fats Domino passed away.
Okay.
So that was really cool.
With Anthony Bourdain.
Well, not for Fats, but. Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain said that's probably the best food, best city in the world for food.
Yeah, it really is. Because it's an international city because it's a port city. So you've got more than just that local cuisine, which is one of the things that makes Mobile great, too. Mm-hmm. We're an international city.
Yeah.
Because we have a port.
Yeah.
And, but then you've got that whole, you had the whole French influence coming in with the traditional cooking techniques and combined with the indigenous people who had their own flair. And then you had the Creoles coming in from Haiti and the Africans that came in, and everyone brought all of their cultures in. And that's why New Orleans is the quintessential U.S. city, both culturally and from a culinary
sense. I was reading up on a Mardi Gras organization. On Dolphin Island, they celebrate Massacre Island, and it's and I researched the name and because I was curious and when Lemoyne when they got to Dolphin Island in 1699, they found all these skeletal remains, and they had thought maybe it had been a village that had a disease and everybody died, and but they set up camp there. And I know Gene Fox, our buddy Gene Fox, has talked about how early the signs of a stew-like substance was made there by throwing everything in there. And of course, seafood was plentiful.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They, of course, you know, called it gumbo.
Right.
And
for the African word for okra.
Okra, yeah. So they, you know,
and African words. Yeah. There's just like probably a dozen different.
Oh yeah,
there's specific languages.
Oh
over
yeah,
there. It's not like one African language, but.
So everybody, you know, before they came to Mobile, what's known, you know, in the 1700, which was just a few years later. I mean, they brought all that influence with them. They brought it with them, you know, and then it gradually made it to Biloxi and New Orleans. New Orleans, they pretty much settled there. Everybody knows this. They pretty much settled there because of the Mississippi River.
Right.
And it went further north than the Alabama rivers did.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And Mississippi's also, you know, the third longest and third widest river in the world. I mean, it was an interstate in those days. And now we're skipping over Prince Modoc, who is a Welsh prince and explorer who, legend has it, landed in Mobile Bay in 1170, 300 years before Columbus. There's even a plaque in the bay that the
I've seen that, yeah.
The Daughters of the American Revolution put up to come in there. There is some evidence that it's true. There's a lot of doubting of it, too, but what they can't figure out is why they found a Native American tribe that had migrated from the Gulf Coast out to the Midwest and had Welsh words in their language before Columbus ever arrived here.
Yeah.
But they,
Columbus never did arrive in what's present-day United States.
He didn't arrive on North America, the continent. He just got to the islands. The Vikings did.
Yeah, they were planting grapes up in Maine and that area long before.
Vinland. Mm-hmm. Is Vineland.
Yeah.
We're going to grow grapes there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, folks, you didn't know you could get a history lesson here, did you?
We're an old city and we're old guys.
But, you know, the word gumbo, you know, going back to gumbo, we're really getting into the gumbo season.
Yep. It's that season where shrimping season's still going on and oyster season's starting. 251-343-0106. Mike, what the heck is that?
That's the Callahan's Irish Social Club call and texting line.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right, welcome back to the Sip and Chew Show this beautiful Sunday morning.
It is. It's beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm.
What's a good place that you could go and maybe have an adult beverage and a fine meal sitting outside in this beautiful weather, Mike?
Well, one of my favorite places is Bob's Downtown Diner on the corner of Fat and Happy, which is North Jackson and St. Francis. And I was just there yesterday.
Just yesterday.
Just yesterday, I was there, and they had me an omelet. I had a healthy omelet.
Oh, meatloaf, white omelet?
I didn't have the meatloaf. I did something different. It's called the Mitchell.
The Mitchell.
At the Mitchell. And it's very healthy, indeed. It was spinach and mushrooms.
Great combination.
With a little bit of smoked sausage, patty sausage, smoked leek sausage, bacon, smoked Gouda, and cheddar cheese. Oh,
but
it is wrapped tightly. It was wrapped tightly in an egg blanket, and it was so good. And a side of Gouda grits, and it comes with a biscuit, and I made it into a sausage and gravy biscuit. So.
Right, because you hadn't had enough meat yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Very healthy. They had spinach and mushrooms. It was very healthy, and it was eggs.
Yeah.
We all know how healthy eggs are.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was very good. I almost got the meatloaf again, but when I saw that, I go, oh, I got to try this. So it was a carnivore's.
The Mitchell.
Yeah, the Mitchell. Yeah. Or Mitch's, Mitchell's or something like that. But I call it the Mitchell. So anyway. And also, what could have made it really great, and it was already great enough, but if it had some Hall's sausage, smoked Cajun sausage in it, that would have been great.
And a little bit of crunchy peanut butter?
I don't know about that.
Grilled pineapple?
No, anyway, we want to thank Hall's Sausage and Wholesale Meats for helping us make this show happen.
Yeah, and, I used Hall's on a Tiger Taco Tea Thursday night. I gave her an avocado toast.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of the bacon, you crumble up some Hall's Andouille and some Cajun grilled shrimp on top.
Now, when you do avocado toast, do you just put avocados, slices on toast?
I get guacamole, man.
Or do you actually make toast out of the avocado? Have you done that before?
No. You've told me about it.
I love it.
Sounds like a lot of effort.
No, it's really not. It's
unless
really,
you're on a diet.
Probably the hardest thing. Probably the hardest thing is just getting the avocado scraped out, and it's not that hard.
No.
Then you got to mash it, smash it all up.
Here's your tip on that, okay? When you take your avocado, you take your knife, you go all the way around it, you twist it, pops open, you hit the heel of the knife into the stone in the center and pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
Take the tip of the knife and score it in both directions so that it's square, cubed. And then you just take a spoon in there and it comes right out.
You've
already got it halfway broken down, too, because you took the knife tip through there.
Mm-hmm. And then you get one of them potato mashers and just mash it.
Or a good sturdy fork.
And then make some little patties. And I put mine in the air fryer. You put it in the oven, but I cook almost everything in the air fryer.
It's also important to remember when you're dealing with the avocado, you want to put some citrus juice on it almost immediately. That keeps it from oxidizing, which is... When it comes in contact with oxygen, it turns it brown. The same thing happens with lettuce and a lot of things.
Right.
That's why it always kills me in a restaurant when they go, that lettuce is brown. Yeah, it's because there's oxygen in the air.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the lettuce. The lettuce is perfectly fine for you to eat. It won't taste any different. It's got the same nutritional value, whether it's brown or green.
Oxygen's our friend.
Yeah.
Just because it turns the lettuce brown. And it breaks wine down, too.
Yeah.
Oxidation.
A friend of mine who was a fireman refers to rust as the slowest fire in the world, because all rust is iron oxidizing.
Yeah.
So oxidation, and fire is described as rapid oxidation.
Yeah.
Very rapid.
Yep. Rapid. Anyway, getting back. We want to thank Butch Cassidy's over there on Florida Street, corner Flow Show.
They will be open tomorrow, y'all.
They will be open tomorrow. All right. They're back at it. So, Anyhoot, let me ask you about a fish.
Why don't you?
And we're going to have Danny Calametti calling in at 11:30, mm-hmm. at bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk about the competition this Friday night that right. I judged in.
Yeah.
And Deborah Hodges was there and some other fine folks that were good judges. The winners had, I'm not going to give it away yet who they were, let Danny say that. They had a queen red snapper.
Huh.
Queen red snapper.
I would imagine that means that it is an older female. But
we looked it up. We Googled yeah. it. And like you always say, Google it, Mike.
Yeah, give it a Google. Google. Yeah. You've got an encyclopedia at your fingertips.
It's the color of a red snapper.
Mm-hmm.
The head looks like a red snapper. And the tail looks like a red snapper. But the body is longer
okay.
and slimmer.
Okay.
And it's out of the Atlantic.
Okay, so it's not a Gulf fish.
No. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah.
Or not
known to
upper
become,
Gulf. Because, yeah. I mean, the further south you get down around the Florida mm-hmm. Keys and that area, the water's considerably warmer, it's considerably mm-hmm. deeper. They have different species of seafood
yeah.
in South Florida or Cancun, Mexico, which is all still
yeah.
on the Gulf of Mexico than we have here in the northern part of the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking, what, 300 or 400 or 500 miles north-south? That much closer to the equator, mm-hmm. naturally you're going to have different temperatures and different species. So
okay.
They have langoustines in South Florida. We don't have those here.
Okay.
But they're in the Gulf. You know what a langoustine is, right?
What is that?
It looks like a giant shrimp with lobster claws on it.
Okay.
And they're delicious, by the way. Dragonfly Food Bar has had langoustine, or langoustinos, you'll also hear it called. On the menu. They are delicious. If you yeah. can get them, because they're good.
Well, but this fish was delicious, mm-hmm. and it was a thick steak that they were able to do.
There's so much more fish in the Gulf for us to eat than just flounder, red snapper, and oh, yeah. grouper. And, you know, our good buddy Chris Sherrill, who formed the nuisance group, mm-hmm. which was, you know, trying to eradicate evasive species or control evasive species, that was one of the things that he used to drive the fish of the day at Floribama was a strict no red snapper, no grouper, no flounder rule. Find something else.
Yeah.
And it introduced me to a lot of fish. Triple tail is phenomenal. It's a terrific fish. Delicious. Chris is almost single-handedly responsible for the sheep's head going from one of the cheapest fish you can serve at a restaurant to one of the most expensive, because he championed it so much at the Floribama, and people saw, well, this is very plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that expensive. Well, you drive up the market, now it's a little more expensive. But
right.
I mean, sheep's head is delicious fish. There's just so many in the Gulf, man, and I don't know why we limit ourselves. But I got a question for you.
Yeah.
It's cooler weather outside.
Mm-hmm.
We're beginning into the fall season. Not Thanksgiving fall, but early fall. What are you opening? What bottle of wine?
Something light, red and lighter.
Okay.
If I stay with white, I'm going to stay with a Vouvray.
Yeah. I was thinking this really feels like a white wine season,
yeah.
too.
Nothing heavy.
Yeah.
Nothing heavy. But I don't like heavy white wines during the summer because they're just...
Yeah, it's just not, syrupy.
Now, if I drink a Chardonnay, I'm gonna drink a...
Steel cask.
Steel cask, like a French Chablis. Mm-hmm. Or sparkling, you know, champagne.
Yeah, well, that's always
good.
Would
be California or French. Nothing sweet, though. Nothing sweet. Right now, I would venture into the lighter Pinot Noirs, more like California... As mm-hmm. opposed to Oregon, because Oregon's are more Burgundian and they're heavier, seem to be a little heavier. Light California Pinot Noirs are lighter, and Chilean Pinot Noirs are lighter.
Can you real quick, for those who are unindoctrinated, define lighter?
Well, you can get you a piece of white paper,
okay,
and pour the wine into the glass, and then tilt it slightly, not to where, right where the wines start to. Get toward the end of it, but you can look with a good light above your head. You can see through it clearly. See okay. through it. Where the heavier stuff probably have more skin contact to give it that darker burgundy color.
Okay.
And I mean, it's the whole idea of Burgundy is starker, but the Oregon and the French Pinot Noirs, and there's some French that are lighter, like the California, but it's more fruit forward too. It's got more fruit style to it, whereas the Oregon, and there are some Californians that tend to be more the earthy, musty, leathery, dusty flavors. Barnyard,
right?
That is an attractive term, believe
yeah,
it or not.
Hey.
but you can I mean it's goes well with our flavors, you know, our seasonal, our fall season flavors as we move into Thanksgiving and the holidays, because I think we tend to use more seasonings and spices mm-hmm. during this time of year.
So as we progress through the fall, yeah. you're suggesting go darker on your
you can
yeah just like just start mm-hmm. with the light Pinot Noir now,
yeah.
And then like by the time we get to Thanksgiving, we're talking Beaujolais Nouveau. And
yeah. Oh, well, Beaujolais Nouveau for sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, that stuff's no good after. No, that's the Beaujolais Nouveau ages really well. 251-343-0106 is the Callahan Irish Social Club. When we come back, we're going to have Danny Calamelli talking about a whole bunch of stuff. Confessions, whiskey therapy sessions. Buying drinks to buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I did this the other night, Stu. I did this. I judged at a competition.
You were being judgmental.
I was being very judgmental. I'm hard on my scores. I just don't give away scores.
But, yeah.
But
you can't be bought. Y'all, but, just keep that in mind. You put a cocktail on the side of your dish, you just got some points.
Not anyone a lot of offering me. That. Yeah. Not one person offered me that. Yeah. But anyway, had a great time. It was a great event. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Had a great band. And met some people I've only knew on Facebook, but we met in person. But anyway, there was so much people were telling me that's not only what's going on then, but things that are coming up. So I said, you know who I need to get on the air and talk about this stuff? Danny Calamitti.
Well,
and
Steve, why don't you see if you can get in touch with Danny and see if he's got time to come on
magic.
This morning.
So,
he's ready to go.
Anyway, Danny,
just
how
so
you doing,
guys,
buddy?
Hey, just so you guys know, I walked in from the beach. I took a day off, and I'm down here at Gulf Shores, and I walked in from the beach to make this phone call. So
you think
I'm committed
you,
to serving,
you think
guys.
You take a, you took a day off?
Yeah, you got a 10-minute work day today, sir.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So anyway, cover everything that you can remember for Friday night, then you know, and then things that are coming up.
So the exciting thing about Friday night is it was kind of an invitation dish competition. We didn't do a call out to everybody, and I ended up with five teams. And the geographic spread, we had a Louisiana team in here. We had Orange Beach. We had Fairhope. We had Irvington. And we had this little team from Dauphin Island that were in there. So we had a good representation of folks. And they had two challenges to provide. One of them was a World Food Championship competition dish in seafood, and that's, you know, that's a dish is more of a composed dish. It's the full boat. But we also did a People's Choice competition, and what we did differently on People's Choice is wasn't a popularity contest. I set it up where it was a blind judging. The teams had to turn in their samples ahead of time, and we served it from the community kitchen there on Dauphin Island to the folks, and everybody had a ballot that they had to vote from. So it was a real a blind competition tasting. And some of the dishes, the guy from Louisiana, Wayne Cooper, turned in a barbecue shrimp over crab cakes with a cream sauce, with an alligator cream sauce on top of it. That was delicious. We had a couple of seafood. We had a Gulf Coast seafood in the competition dish that they also entered into their People's Choice dish. Our friends from the Orange Beach Grill Sergeants, the Orange Beach Police Department, they turned in a Mardi Gras egg roll. It was an egg roll that was just stuffed full of shrimp and crab meat, and it was just delicious. And then we had this one last team that turned in, like Mike said, turned in this queen snapper. And well, before I talk about that, we had 1010 Rock and Roll Food Truck out of Fairhope. They turned in firecracker shrimp tacos, two different kind of tacos. That were just went over the top delicious.
They were phenomenal.
Everybody cleaned their plates with that one. And I'll tell you, those folks got second in the World Food Championship Conference. This is one of their first competitions, so they were pretty excited about it.
Excellent.
But the winner with the Queen Snapper was actually a previous winner, and his boss is a previous WFC competitor. It's this chef called Charles Switzer from Pirates Bar and Grill. It was a phenomenal dish, and Charles was a late entry. He was trying to get work some things out, and he was really nervous about it. But as Mike said, the dish was absolutely fabulous. And I wish I wish I had my description of the dish with me. I'll get that stuff posted online. But it was just a fabulous dish. It was well done. And well received, obviously. Mike, you got anything to add about the Queen Snapper?
Well, other than they were like thick steaks, and they had potatoes that looked like scallops. I thought at first, oh wow, we got scallops.
Oh yeah, I saw that dish. One of them was like a purple Peruvian.
I had a purple one. I got
those are scalloped potatoes.
Yeah, they were delicious, the presentation was nice. They played it real well, and so did 1010 Rock and Roll's food truck. Their presentation was great. It was a really good presentation. The gumbo that was presented, great presentation, and they had a lot of big crab legs in it and stuff. Those two.
It was interesting. So I'll go ahead and tip the hand. That one didn't win in the WFC. But their People's Choice entry got second place. So they same dish, just served up a little bit differently.
Yeah,
I did have a piece of the Queen Snapper, and I managed to taste most of the dishes, at least get a taste of them. They were just some delicious stuff. And our competitors, it was a drizzly rain the whole time, so they were trying to deal with that and still turn in. Now on the on the People's Choice side, there was some interesting dish. We had a seafood chili, and I didn't get a chance to taste that, but it seemed to go over really well. They also they had a Gulf shrimp and sausage gumbo. Our grill sergeant's team went full bore. They did a surf and turf with steak and shrimp and potatoes, and that was a nice turn of affair. But the winner was a different chef. It was a blue crab and corn bisque that was served up. And I have to say, while the golden ticket competition was close, the bisque blew them away on the People's Choice side. And that was a different chef also from Pirates. So Pirates Bar and Grill had and the good thing about it, it was a blind judging. So they didn't get home turf favoritism for their People's Choice. And in fact, I talked to the chef and he said, I was talking to people afterwards and they were guessing what dish I turned in, and none of them guessed the blue crab because it's not on their menu, on their normal menu down at Pirates. But it was good. We also upgraded our judging a little bit, and I don't mean with Mike Bailey.
Well, I brought balance.
I got asked late in the game from a new chef that lives on the island, not a new chef, but a new chef to me, new contact, and he logistically couldn't work out to get a team scheduled, so I invited him to judge, and it's Chef Chris Musgrove, and Christopher had just been on the Food Network and all this kind of stuff, so he's got a house that lives down on Dauphin Island, and this was his first World Food Championship. We did a little primer before he got in there. And I think he really is. And Mike, I know you had a chance to talk to.
Yeah, we talked. We talked a good bit. He was on MasterChef, and he was talking about. He couldn't go into a whole lot, but everything up till his last show on his last appearance on there, he could talk about. And it was just, I asked him, how he got started doing it. He was just a self-taught chef. And
I've heard of those.
I know a few. But it was he was a fun guy to hang out with, and the, all the judges were cool to hang out with. They were really I enjoyed every one of them.
It was a good mix of judges. So you know, I always try and get some old farts like Mike in there that had done before, and then with a sprinkling of new folks as well. So it was a good mix of folks, and the event itself was just a huge success. Of course, the town of Dauphin Island's always supporting us with stuff.
Oh yeah,
we got support from Chip Brown, Representative Chip Brown, and then also Chris Blankenship with the Alabama Conservation Department.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some good sponsors behind us and just big crowd in there. The street folks had a great time playing. And so it was a nice party, a full house and just a great event. So I'll post some additional stuff. We got some other things coming up that I've managed to wheedle my way onto Deborah Hodges' team for this UCP thing coming up. And I've not done that before. Mike, have you been, Stu, y'all been to that?
No.
The bodyguard fundraiser that's
no.
coming up?
I have not.
So it's a great event. Everything Deborah tells me about it is just a fabulous event. And so it ought to be fun. And then, we got a few other things coming up down the pike. We talked last week about the Smoke on the Farm event
mm-hmm.
with Joey Mason. That's going to be a lot of fun. I will not forget the fact that I am also counter-programming against a great group because that's also the same weekend as Latin Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come out to the farm and get some turf, or you can head downtown to Mardi Gras Park that Saturday afternoon, the 12th, and enjoy Latin Fest. They'll have a full slate of different Latin foods. And one of the things they do is they make sure they don't have half a dozen everybody doing tacos. They actually go through and select different vendors to make sure there's a representative sample from across the scope down there. So that's going to be a fun event as well down at Mardi Gras Park. I guess since I'm over here and I've got some friends, that is also the same weekend as this little thing they've been having over here for a couple of years called Shrimp Festival. So that's a big weekend for a lot of stuff going on. But
it sounds like it.
But we'll spread then. We do have there are a number of contests coming around the corner. We got a couple of you mentioned gumbo. We got a couple of gumbo contests coming up later on in November. So I'll be back on and talk about that. But I do think I'm gonna go back home and fix me some gumbo this afternoon.
You inspired yourself, huh?
There you go. So we'll see how that works. But anyway, yeah.
I don't see. You know, I was talking to Deborah Hodges and everything she's got going on. I don't see how she does it. It's like every day she's somewhere doing something.
She's hustling.
Yeah.
I got a call from one of her sponsors, partners. One of them, is it always this hard to get in touch with Deborah? And I said, no, it's not hard. She just stays busy.
Yeah.
The problem is, he calls me when she won't call him, but that's
well, I'm excited about the fall coming up and better weather and then all these events. All these, you got Bras for a Cause and all these other things
yep.
coming up.
Or the Bras Way.
Bras for a Cause is the same weekend as the Latin Fest there. So that's the morning of the 12th. That'll be a fun event. Before then, we've got this Son of a Sailor Festival coming up downtown. Now, that's not a foodie event.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there with the Lulu's tent because we'll be promoting our Sippin' and Skippin' breast cancer fun run that's a part of the Meeting Minds event later on in October. So we won't have any food, but we'll be there talking about Lulu's and all that type of stuff. But there's going to be great music and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to be I'll be there. I've got a golf tournament, high school golf tournament that morning. Then I'll be there. Since I live downtown, that'd be easy for me.
Hey, Danny, we got to wrap it up for commercial. Real quick, where can somebody find out all the information you just gave us?
AlabamaCoasting.com, or they can check out my Facebook page, Danny Calametti, on Facebook.
All right, buddy. We sure appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Dan.
Keep
all right,
bringing all this good stuff to town.
Sorry to drag you off the beach.
No, happy to talk to you. Take care now.
Thank you, buddy.
251-343-0106. What is that, Mike?
That is the Callahan's Irish Social Club call and texting line, fellas and ladies.
for more than a decade. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat pancakes, too much sugar and donuts. I will play for gumbo.
Well, I would certainly play for gumbo if I
pray,
how to play.
Pray for gumbo.
Pray and play. Yeah. All of it. Hey, we want to thank a few people out there. We want to thank Bob's Downtown Diner, Downtown Mobile on the corner of Fat and Happy, which is North Jackson and St. Francis Street, like I say all the time. Get by there and get that meatloaf omelet or that
Mitchell.
The Mitchell. Or better yet, get the Bailey,
yeah,
the ribeye steak, the most expensive thing on the menu.
And it's not said like the Mitchell. It's said like, oh, I have a Bailey.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, thank you, Stu.
I want a plate full of my Bailey.
So anyway, we want to thank Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats. Go out there and look for it. It's now available in the Piggly Wiggly's and in Baldwin County and some of the Greer stores as well. And working on others, and that they are working on other stores over there as well. And want to thank Butch Cassidy's there in the heart of Flo Shell, which is Florida and O'Shell Road, right next to Cammy's Old Dutch Ice Cream. All great folks. Anyway, Stu.
Yes, sir.
What you got on your plate, man?
I don't have a plate, Mike. It's just a desk.
It's just.
I'm actually probably going to hike when I get out of here.
Okay. Beautiful day for it.
Yep, absolutely. We finally got weather that's decent to be outside in,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go take advantage of it.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, did you eat anywhere cool in the last week?
Well,
where'd you eat?
Bob's yesterday. I am, I know I did. Well, Friday night, I could not eat yesterday. I barely stuffed that food down me yesterday at Bob's after Friday night. We ate so much food Friday night, and it was only five contestants. But Naaman's,
you ate every bite, though.
Naaman's had a spread, too, of anything, a lot of seafood, like dips and shrimp.
Smoked tuna dips, one of the best things the Gulf Coast has produced.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
And he had a table full of desserts and chocolates and little miniature cupcakes. And I ate so much Friday night, I almost didn't go eat lunch Saturday because it was just so much.
But you managed.
I somehow struggled through it.
Yeah.
Struggled through it. Yeah. I've been kind of fasting lately. I'm trying to eat like once a day.
Yeah.
And drink a lot of water. And I saw some results this morning. Even though I had eaten like I have the last 2 days, I saw some results this morning. And hopefully I'm going to go find something good after this.
But, some water, you mean?
Yeah. You know, we ate at Alex's place.
Right.
A couple weeks ago.
Bella Italian.
Yeah. And y'all, folks, if you haven't been there, you need to go.
Yep.
It's super good. Yep. It is super good. And I don't think downtown's got a lot of restaurants, a lot of great restaurants. But if you find a good restaurant out West Mobile, go support it.
In the sea of of soulless chain restaurants, there are good restaurants. That's Schillinger's Road doesn't look like Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-mm.
It looks like the urban sprawl of any city in America.
Yeah,
there's so little of our personality on that road. It's like a greatest hits of mediocrity.
I know a lot of people downtown.
But scattered in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people downtown don't venture past I-65.
Yep.
And a lot of people out in West Mobile don't venture the other way.
Right.
Toward downtown. But you got some great other things. Brooke Bosarge there at Domke Market. She's gone in there with Luigi. Mm-hmm. To open up the Italian restaurant. The name escapes me right now. But I'm hearing wonderful things about it. You still got the wine shop and the wine bar, and you got the Italian restaurant. And I can't wait till I go there.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know when I'm going, but I hope to get there soon.
Yeah. And, you know, with this onslaught of new cuisines that have become popular, with Thai cuisine, which I love, and everything that's come along, we've seen a falling off of the Italian restaurant,
mm-hmm.
except for the chains that treat you like family, which, mm-hmm. which I guess means hit you with a frying pan. I don't know. but you've got, you know, Bella Italia that we went to, mm-hmm. and Roma Cafe. So it's good to have Domke opening up.
But at the Loop, you got T. Marie's.
Right. And I've been dying to go there.
Well, they get packed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, it's like at Butch Cassidy's, I wouldn't be in a hurry. Mm-hmm. If you're in a hurry, mm-hmm. There's some restaurants you don't need to go to. Champy's Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
If you're in a hurry,
right.
You probably don't want to go there because they don't drop that chicken until you order it.
Yep.
It's not sitting there in a heat lamp waiting for you to order it.
Right.
They cook it when you need it. That's why you got to crack it open and let it steam out a little bit.
You have your appetizer. Steve, remember this. You need this information, buddy, when you go to Champy's. Tell them to bring your appetizer and your chicken out at the same time.
Really? Why?
Because you're going to need 10 minutes before the chicken, when the chicken hits your table, before you can put it in your mouth.
It's, yeah.
I mean, it literally comes out of the fryer, and they get the flash or somebody to zip it out to your table so that it's still crackling from the fryer.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And they got some cool appetizers, too. The tamales,
tamales.
The Delta style.
The Delta tamales.
But have you tried, I don't know if it's like a redneck charcuterie board or what, but it's just a basket with cheese cubes in it.
Oh, yeah.
And then pepperoncini and like fried red hots or something like that, and all with toothpicks in them.
Yeah.
And man, all that is such a good tray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, what I was saying about there's some restaurants you just shouldn't be in a hurry to go in and eat at because mm-hmm. It's an experience. You want to enjoy the experience. And a lot of the Italian restaurants, most of them don't make their sauces. They don't have a big old pot of sauce there to put on. They make it per order.
Yeah.
And I know several that their Alfredo, they make the Alfredo sauce to order.
Yeah.
Now, they don't have a big old pot back there on the stove. Just scoop it out, put it on your spaghetti, you know, or whatever.
Like the chains do. Because mm-hmm. I've worked at two of the three big Italian chains, and their Alfredo comes mm-hmm. in a bag. You heat it up in boiling water, put it in a vat, mm-hmm. ladle it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and you know, the American idea of Alfredo and true Alfredo are vastly different. There's only two ingredients to true Alfredo. Butter and Parmesan Reggiano, and that's it. There's
my
no cream,
cheese.
No milk, no flour, no roux. It's just butter and cheese.
My favorite
and
cheese.
And here what they call it, buttered noodles. I'll have some buttered noodles. And, of course, they're shaking the Kraft grated Parmesan on top of their country crock when
instead
they're doing
of,
buttered noodles.
Instead of
getting a real block of Parmesan mm-hmm. Reggiano and grating it fresh onto a really good butter.
Yeah.
Country crock is not butter. I can believe it's not butter.
It's not butter.
Yeah.
It's locale.
Not if they're made with hydrogenated oils.
Yeah.
Which most of them are.
I read the the ingredients and the facts on it, and it's like, well, I can't believe this. It's low. Because I read labels. So ever since I was
Everyone
a diet, I read labels.
Everyone
yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
you know,
you should.
They're there for a reason.
If you want to, when it says added sugar or grams of sugar, go get your little calculator of how many spoonfuls or cups that actually equals, and you realize how much sugar you put in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Google and I Google 5 grams of sugar compared.
Yeah.
Ounces or spoonfuls, and I said, oh my God, I didn't realize it had that much in it.
Yeah.
No wonder I can't get rid of this gut.
Well, that's
folks,
it, Mike.
Get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Stu, you
Sniff
get out
local.
There and be local.
I'm going to go out there and provolone.